It's Halloween, it's Halloween. So get your scary costume on and come with me.
We're looking at it. We have a lot of different concepts right now.
The Trump administration may believe that it can rewrite rules so that transgender people are no longer in the law. It certainly cannot write trans people out of existence.
This isn't a debate. It doesn't violate anyone else's rights for trans people to have rights.
We will stand up, we will be resilient, and we will be here long after this administration is in the trash heap.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. I'm Lucia Chappell. Trump attacks trans existence on national and global fronts. Britain's Commons pressures Northern Ireland on marriage equality and musical hocus pocus for a happy Halloween. All that and more this week, now that you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Wenzel Jones.
And I'm Sarah Sweeney.
With News Wrap, a summary of some of the news interaffecting LGBTQ communities around the world for the week ending October 27th, 2018. During a week when a rabid supporter of Donald Trump sent pipe bombs to at least 14 of the president's high-profile critics, his administration launched three separate attempts to redefine transgender people out of existence. His first effort was literally global. According to an exclusive report in the Guardian newspaper, the U.S. mission to the United Nations is trying to eliminate the word gender from all of the international body's human rights documents, replacing it with woman in most cases. U.S. diplomats at recent meetings of the UN's Third Committee, which addresses social, humanitarian, and cultural rights, have been arguing that current policy is driven by ideology-based political correctness to treat gender as variable rather than as an unchanging biological fact. For example, The Guardian notes, the U.S. proposed replacing phrases like gender-based violence with violence against women in a draft paper on human trafficking. One unidentified senior U.N. diplomat told the paper that if you only say violence against women, it doesn't really tell the whole story. The newspaper says that the only way the U.S. delegation will get its way is by forging alliances with Russia and conservative, predominantly Muslim nations against its usual Western allies.
Trump's Solicitor General Noel Francisco, who's part of Attorney General Jeff Sessions' Justice Department, submitted a brief this week to the U.S. Supreme Court, essentially saying that it's perfectly legal to discriminate against someone on the basis of gender identity. The High Court is considering whether or not to hear a case involving a transgender worker who was fired by a Michigan funeral home. Backed by the anti-queer legal group Alliance Defending Freedom, the funeral home is challenging an appeals court ruling that the firing of trans worker Amy Stevens violated federal law banning workplace bias based on sex. In ruling that trans people are protected by those laws, the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Sixth Circuit said the funeral home management's religious beliefs about gender were irrelevant. The brief submitted by the Trump administration backs the funeral home's argument that the specific federal law in question, Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964, banning sex discrimination, does not protect transgender people. Most lower courts have agreed with the Sixth Circuit's interpretation. The Supreme Court is also considering cases testing whether or not lesbian, gay, and bisexual people are also protected by federal laws banning bias based on sex.
The Trump assault on transgender humanity, drawing the most media coverage this week, followed an October 21st New York Times report that the administration was considering policy changes defining gender as unchangeable and based strictly on genitalia at birth.
Trans rights are human rights. Trans rights are human rights.
We will not be erased.
We will not be
erased. The federal government's proposed virtual erasure of transgender people drew a swift challenge from an impressive number of progressive organizations, in addition to the expected lineup of major queer groups. We'll have a lot more on that part of the story later in the program on most of these same This Way Out stations.
Meanwhile, controversial transgender whistleblower Chelsea Manning announced on social media this week that she had undergone long-awaited surgery. She posted a smiling selfie from her hospital bed, but didn't discuss the specifics of the procedure. After almost a decade of fighting, she wrote, through prison, the courts, a hunger strike, and through the insurance company, I finally got the surgery this week. She didn't take any time off from her activism, however, quickly condemning the latest anti-trans moves by the Trump administration. Laws don't determine our existence, she tweeted. We determine our existence.
Britain's House of Commons has waded into the log-jammed effort to establish marriage equality in Northern Ireland, the only major part of the United Kingdom without it. The legislature in heavily Roman Catholic Northern Ireland is dysfunctional due to fractious policy differences between the two major parties, primarily over marriage equality and abortion. Same-gender couples legally married elsewhere are only recognized as civil partners, and women seeking a safe abortion must travel to England for the procedure. Emergency legislation giving Northern Ireland's civil servants more decision-making authority until lawmakers can resolve their differences included an amendment instructing Northern Ireland Secretary Karen Bradley to issue guidance on the continued enforcement by civil servants of laws that outlaw abortion and deny civil marriage to same-gender couples, and to report quarterly to Parliament on those issues. The amendment was sponsored by Labour and Tory MPs and passed in the Commons by a vote of 207 to 117. Human rights activists cheered the action. While mostly symbolic, they say it puts more pressure on Northern Ireland lawmakers to get their house in order, including the passage of marriage equality, a move supported in poll after poll by an overwhelming majority of the people of Northern Ireland. The country's High Court heard a legal challenge to Northern Ireland's unequal marriage laws in September.
A 16-year-old gay activist in Russia unexpectedly won an appeal this week of his conviction of violating the country's infamous law against promoting non-traditional sexual relations after he posted several photos of shirtless men hugging on social media. Maxim Nevrov is believed to be the only suspect under the age of 18 to be charged with that offense since Vladimir Putin signed the so-called No Promo Homo Bill into law in 2013. The teenager's lawyer, Artem Lapov, from the advocacy group Russian LGBT Network, applauded the legal victory. The court used the principle of the presumption of innocence and came to the conclusion that Nevrov's guilt in committing the offense was not proven, he said. On the basis of this, our complaints were satisfied, and the decision of the Commission on Juvenile Affairs was canceled. Activist Nevrov, who some sources say does not identify as LGBTQ, believes that law enforcement started to monitor his activities after he organized an anti-government gay or Putin performance in May. The European Court of Human Rights ruled last year that Russia's No Promo Homo law violates regional treaties, the right to freedom of expression, and of LGBTQ people to not be discriminated against. The Putin government dismissed the decision as unjust. The law has been used across the country to ban the so-called promotion of LGBTQ rights, including pride events and even the display of rainbow flags.
LGBTQ people on the majority Hindu island of Bali thought they were relatively safe in anti-queer, predominantly Muslim Indonesia, where government officials and security police have been leading a steadily escalating series of attacks on sexual and gender-variant minorities. But homophobic Muslim groups pressured the owners of a convention hall in Denpasar, Bali's capital, to cancel a beauty pageant organized by the Gaya Dewata Foundation, an HIV/AIDS prevention and education group. The annual event has been held successfully for the past 3 years. 24 contestants, narrowed down from a field of 80 contenders, all Indonesian, were set to compete in separate Mr. and Miss categories through talent performances and a drag show. All finalists were required to undergo training and demonstrate knowledge of sexual health and HIV issues. A fearful Balinese gay man, who only disclosed his first name, Agung, told the Voice of America that, "I thought Bali would have that space for us to be ourselves. It doesn't have that bubble anymore."
LGBTQ activists and their allies rallied outside Australia's parliament this week, chanting, "Where's the bill?" They were calling on Prime Minister Scott Morrison to make good on his promise, as our Sydney correspondent Barry McKay reported last week, to offer legislation to ban bias against queer students in religious schools. Greens Senator Janet Rice spoke to the rally in Canberra, joined by a few other lawmakers, representatives of the Human Rights Law Center, Rainbow Families, and parents of gender-diverse children, along with some of those children. Rice noted that the current session of Parliament was virtually over. She promised that if it's not at the top of Morrison's legislative agenda in the next session, assuming he's still Prime Minister, her party would do his job for him.
And finally, cigars all around for a pair of Aussie penguin dads at Sydney's Sea Life Aquarium. Caretakers first noticed that Sven and Magic had formed a close bond ahead of breeding season, and that Sven had even offered Magic a special stone, which a staff member explained was equivalent to proposing in the love language of penguins. The penguin partners began hoarding pebbles to build a nest, indicating their desire to start a family. They were given an abandoned egg, and their baby chick hatched this week, initially named Svenjik after its two foster parents. The chick's permanent name will be chosen after its gender is determined in about 2 months. Announcing the news on Facebook, the aquarium reported that the loving foster parents are co-parenting exceptionally well to raise their young. Same-gender pairings are fairly common among penguins. We love watching the proud parents doting and taking turns caring for their baby chick, the aquarium Facebook posting gushed. We can't wait for the world to fall in love with baby Svenjik, like they did with our amazing same-sex couple, Sven and Magic.
That's News Wrap, global queer news with attitude, for the week ending October 27th, 2018. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap is written by Greg Gordon, produced with Brian DeShazer, recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles, and brought to you by you.
Help keep us on the air and in your ears at the always updated thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast. For This Way Out, I'm Sarah Sweeney.
And I'm Wenzel Jones.
This just in, a far-right nationalist known as the Trump of the Tropics has been elected president of Brazil. With most of the October 28th votes counted, social liberal Jair Bolsonaro was defeating the Workers' Party's Fernando Haddad 55% to 45%. Bolsonaro has proudly denigrated LGBTQ people, women, and ethnic minorities. Although 29% of queer voters were expected to support Bolsonaro as a reaction against corruption under the Workers' Party government, his election has national LGBTQ and international human rights organizations sounding the alarm. Murders and other hate crimes against LGBTQ Brazilians have skyrocketed during the presidential campaign. Bolsonaro is a fan of both Donald Trump and the brutal military dictatorship that ruled Brazil from 1964 to 1985. In other late-breaking news, the Delta Foundation of Pittsburgh reports that the October 27th mass shooting at a synagogue there took place during a bris for the newly adopted twins of a gay couple. Other sources say that prominent HIV specialist Dr. Jerry Rabinowitz was among the slain. Just how gay is Halloween?
It's time to trick or treat.
You'll find out later in the program. But first, something even more scary and very real. U.S. trans activists responded swiftly and emphatically to the news that the Trump administration was working on a plan to effectively erase transgender people from civil rights law. A draft memo leaked to the New York Times revealed that the Department of Health and Human Services was seeking to get the Departments of Justice, Education, and Labor on board with a unified definition of sex in Title IX of the Civil Rights Act. The Obama administration had pushed to define protections against discrimination based on sex to include gender, sexual orientation, and gender identity. This proposed definition says that sex means a person's status as male or female based on immutable biological traits identifiable by or before birth, and that the sex listed on a person's birth certificate as originally issued shall constitute definitive proof of a person's sex unless rebutted by reliable genetic evidence. Protests erupted as soon as the Times published its piece on October 21st, and the pictures of trans people with the hashtag won't be erased flooded social media. A coalition of organizations held a press conference at the Human Rights Campaign the following morning.
I am Mara Kiesling from the National Center for Transgender Equality, and I am livid, but clear-headed. And I want to tell you what is going on right now. I want to tell you how people are feeling right now. When I look at my social media feed, when I look at my emails from scared parents, when I get phone calls from trans people who just are terrified of this administration, I know that once again they have gone too far, and that's important. Once again they have gone too far. We are scared as trans people. What they are doing, to put this in the simplest of terms, is this is the federal government saying, we will not enforce federal civil rights laws, laws that I am entitled to have enforced, laws that Congress has said they have to enforce, laws that were duly passed and have gone through all sorts of judicial hoops to be interpreted the way they are currently interpreted. Trans people are extraordinary people. Trans people will sometimes tell you that we're ordinary people, and they mean we have to pay our rent, we have to eat food. But I will tell you, ordinary people don't really look at who they are and know that they're going to be that and do that, knowing that they can lose their families, their health care, their school, their job. That is an extraordinary person. And extraordinary people stand up and are resilient, and trans people have proven that over and over again. And we will stand up, we will be resilient, and we will be here long after this administration is in the trash heap. I am so proud to be here with so many allied organizations, so many trans people, so many not trans people. We're ready. We're standing up, we're fighting back, and we will stand together, fight together, and I guarantee you we will win together.
I'm Fatima Goss Graves. I'm president and CEO of the National Women's Law Center. And we're here today because, once again, this administration is seeking to institutionalize hate. The Trump administration may believe that it can rewrite rules so that transgender people are no longer in the law. It certainly cannot write trans people out of existence. They will not be erased. None of us will let that happen. And so my main message today is to the many transgender patients and students and workers and anyone hearing this news that we see you, we support you, and we will not back down. Fear and ignorance really have no place in determining national policy, and we are committed to coming together with the entire community to be sure that this initiative never sees the light of day.
My name is Angela Farrell Zabala, and I am here representing Planned Parenthood Action Fund and the nearly 2.5 million patients who come to Planned Parenthood health centers every year. Planned Parenthood denounces the Trump-Pence administration's cruel and discriminatory action to erase civil rights protections for transgender people. Planned Parenthood is proud to provide quality, compassionate health care to transgender men, women, and adolescents, and to gender nonconforming people. Our services and programs are open to people of all gender identities and sexual orientations. We know that transgender people, especially transgender women of color, often carry the heaviest burdens. Studies show that 1/3 of transgender people have had at least one negative experience with a healthcare provider in the past year. And nearly 1/4 of transgender people report not seeing a doctor when they needed to because of fear of being mistreated. Transgender people exist and will not be erased. They already face extreme burdens to get the basic care they need to build their lives. This policy from the Trump administration would only add to their burdens. Every person, no matter their gender, identity, sex, or sexual orientation, deserves the right to freedom and equality under the law. We will not accept anything less.
My name is Laura Durso. I'm the Vice President of the LGBT Research and Communications Project at the Center for American Progress. It's really a privilege to join all of my dear colleagues. And it's a privilege to do the work that we do. My job is to make sure that the progressive movement represents and meets the needs of LGBTQ people nationwide. And so gone are the days when opponents of equality could get away with their discriminatory agenda because good people either didn't know what to say or didn't have the courage to say it. So I'm here to say that CAP stands with you in full-throated support of our transgender siblings and of all people whose gender doesn't fit some preconceived notion of who people should be or what they should look like. I don't know who they thought they were fooling before, but they are finally not trying to hide what we've known since the beginning, that Donald Trump and Mike Pence are determined to harm LGBTQ communities because to them, we are less than people, and harming us helps them score political points. Transgender people will not be erased. LGBTQ people are not going to be pushed into the shadows. And 2 weeks from tomorrow, we need to get everyone out to the polls to tell this administration that we have had enough.
My name is Soraya Lester. I'm the conference's coordinator in MAC, and I am proud to be a transgender woman of color. I'm proud to be a godmother, a daughter, a child, an aunt, a grandchild, a friend. What I am not is a cartoon character that can be erased. Because of my gender identity, I've been largely invisible to the powers that be in this country. I've been disregarded, disrespected, disenfranchised, and treated like I don't exist. And now, this administration wants to make that invisibility official policy. No words, no action can erase me, and those who stand here with me as well. We must end willful ignorance in this country. We must end the use of bigotry to frame government policy. And what we must do is embrace all the colors of humanity.
Araya Lester of the Minority AIDS Council and the others were just a few of the speakers at the press conference. There were also representatives from the National LGBTQ Task Force, Lambda Legal, Freedom for All Americans, PFLAG National, the Leadership Conference on Civil and Human Rights, and the ACLU. The president himself responded to the controversy 2 days after the draft memo was exposed.
We're looking at it.
When he was caught by reporters near his helicopter pad en route to a midterm campaign rally, Trump replied with his usual incisive grasp of policy development.
We have a lot of different concepts right now. They have a lot of different things happening with respect to transgender right now. You know that as well as I do, and we're looking at it very seriously. I'm protecting everybody. You know what I'm doing? I'm protecting everybody. I want to protect our country.
Chase Strangio is a staff attorney with the ACLU LGBT and HIV Project.
The executive branch of government cannot single-handedly change the law.
A trans man himself, Strangio put the Health and Human Services effort to write out transgender protections into perspective with Amy Goodman on Democracy Now!
This is an effort to narrow federal civil rights protections, but federal civil rights protections are still written by Congress, existing in federal law, and interpreted by the courts. So this is certainly not the final word on anything, but it is part of a widespread attack on the trans community that we've seen across the administration. And this is also what fuels violence against so many trans people, especially trans people of color.
Because
there's this idea that trans people are inauthentic, that we're out here to deceive you. But the reality is that we are who we say we are, and that biological sex, as the other side, as the right, as people in power in the Trump administration are trying to talk about it, is not a scientific fact. It's an ideological effort to tell people that trans existence isn't real. And the more we have an ideological debate about whether or not it's, you know, moral or ethical to recognize the existence of trans people, the more we're going to embolden the Trump administration and other state-level government actors to act to take away our rights. This isn't a debate. It doesn't violate anyone else's rights for trans people to have rights.
Get up, stand up. Stand up for your rights.
The ACLU has vowed prompt legal action against any attempt to put the proposed anti-transgender definition into effect, and clearly many others are ready to fight. Among them is popular television psychologist Dr. Phil McGraw, who offered his terse analysis on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert.
That's the absolute height of arrogance. Where does that come from? You think just, I'm going to change the word, I'm going to take that out of the dictionary, and these people cease to exist? Kiss my ass, you can't do that. Really?
It's Halloween, and you can cower in fear or come out and be queer with This Way Out Music Focus host Steve Sims, who aims to see Samhain songs rival Christmas carols in the Holiday Tune Tournament.
Oh, 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 listen to the music. Oh, oh, listen to the music. Oh, oh.
Some call it the Gay High Holy Day. Lesbian poet Judy Grahn called it the Great Gay Holiday. Others simply refer to it as our night.
It's Halloween, it's Halloween. So get your scary costume on and come with me. It's time to trick or treat.
Pumpkin patch, going to the pumpkin patch. Gonna snatch
big old batch. Pumpkins down at the pumpkin patch.
Yes, Halloween. You can be anyone on Halloween. You can express yourself, your gender, your sexuality, in any way you see fit. You can be good or evil.
Pick a costume, make it work. Just don't be a jerk.
If you've ever melted chocolate for a human fondue, you've discovered that it's harder to remove than Elmer's glue.
Black, black heart.
Ralph Lee kicked off the first Village Halloween Parade in New York City in 1974. That celebration has since become the largest Halloween parade in the world, and it still attracts the most elaborate, handmade costumes you can find south of Broadway.
The people cheered as they gamely prayed at the Mermaid Parade.
Rock music history is peppered with sinister spookiness that can be repurposed for Halloween.
What's in your head? In your head, zombie, zombie, zombie.
I'm on the highway to hell. On the highway to hell.
When I die and they lay me to rest, gonna go to the place that's the best.
The religious have Christmas, but as queer folk, we have All Hallows' Eve. When it comes to music, it seems you can find a Halloween song almost anywhere if you listen close enough. It can pop out of literature, the movie screen, or stage, from Lemony and Rocky to Elphaba and Glinda.
Scream, 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 and run away.
I knew you. I have been changed for good.
Over the last 40 years, we have shaped October 31st into the quintessential LGBT holiday, and it only gets gayer with age. All of the music in this segment are by LGBT artists. You can find more about the songs at questoflife.org. For This Way Out, I'm Steve Sims.
Thanks for tuning in to This Way Out, brought to you by the nonprofit Overnight Productions. Some program material this week came from Wenzel Jones and Sarah Sweeney, produced with Brian DeShazer, and from Amy Goodman and Democracy Now! Sly and the Family Stone and Bob Marley performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation, the Ivana Foundation, the estate of Christopher David Truntum, our contributing affiliate stations, and you, our individual listener donors who make this program possible. Thanks for helping to keep our 30-year streak going at thiswayout.org. Look for This Way Out Radio on social media and wherever you get your podcasts, smile at Overnight Productions on Amazon, email tworadio@aol.com, or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA. For coordinating producer Greg Gordon and the entire This Way Out crew, I'm Lucia Chappell. Thanks for listening online at thiswayout.org and on CJSF Burnaby, British Columbia, KUGS Bellingham, Washington, 4BI Fortitude Valley, Queensland, and more than 200 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Now, y'all, stay tuned.